The following presentation may not be suitable for young children. Listener discretion is advised. Leon Weber checked the patient's monitor in the back of the speeding ambulance.
"Vitals are dropping,"
he announced. Earlier that night, Leon's EMS team had been dispatched to the 78-year-old Helga's rural home for a possible aneurysm. The closest hospital was over 30 miles away, and by the time the ambulance was within 10 minutes of arriving, Helga was barely hanging on. Following procedure, Leon radioed the hospital to let them know the ambulance was close and the patient required immediate surgery. The response that came back from Helios University Hospital, however, was anything but normal procedure.
"The accident and emergency department is closed due to a ransomware attack,"
a Helios nurse responded.
"We're unable to treat the patient."
Leon didn't know what a ransomware attack was, and he didn't have time to argue.
"Where the fuck are we taking her then?"
Leon asked through the walkie.
"Try Solingen Emergency Hospital,"
the radio said.
"Change of plans,"
Leon announced.
"Head to Solingen Hospital now."
The ambulance pulled a sharp U-turn and sped toward the highway. A few minutes into their new route, the patient's heart rate plummeted. "Starting chest compressions," Leon said. Leon and another worker performed CPR for nearly 10 minutes, fighting to keep the woman alive when her pulse completely flatlined. Helga Duer was pronounced dead at 9:45 p.m. on September 11, 2018. Some Germans saw Helga's death as an unfortunate event. The German police, however, saw it as preventable. Charges were brought up on the hospital, and in court, German prosecutors argued the ransomware attack on Helios Hospital was responsible for the loss of Helga's life. The case was eventually tossed out, but a red flag had been officially raised. Germany was the first country trying to warn the world about the deadly effects of ransomware, a warning that the world ignored until it was far too late. On this episode, holding your data hostage, fatal outcomes, and the future of criminal hacking. I'm Keith Korneluk, and this is a special bonus episode of Modem Mischief. You're listening to Modem Mischief. In this series, we explore the darkest reaches of the internet. We'll take you into the minds of the world's most notorious hackers and the lives affected by them. We'll also show you places you won't find on Google and what goes on down there. These are the true stories of ransomware attacks. Helios Medical Center, the original hospital that Helga was en route to on September 11th, was experiencing a ransomware attack. Helga's case was the first time that ransomware or hacking of any kind could be tied to a cyber attack. The German police were interested in seeing just how much of a hand the ransomware attack played in Helga's death. Specifically, they wanted to know if they could charge the hackers responsible in any way. After a detailed investigation involving consultations with medical professionals, an autopsy, and a minute-by-minute breakdown of the events, the ransomware hack was found not to have made much of a difference. The police discovered that due to the severity of Helga's diagnosis when she was picked up by the EMS, it was likely she would have died regardless of which hospital she was admitted to that night. It was concluded that the ransomware hack played only a small role that night if it contributed to the death at all. Helga's case should have sparked attention and concern worldwide. Still, just because the death was determined to be an accidental consequence of a cyber attack, news of the hospital ransomware hack stayed quiet. Even though Helga's death was uncorrelated to the ransomware attack on Helios, doesn't mean that future ransomware deaths wouldn't be deliberate. In 2018, ransomware was still a relatively new technological development, and people were still trying to understand it. Ransomware fundamentally works as an extortion scheme. Most major institutions and businesses are web-based, and without access to their online systems, they are virtually useless. Ransomware takes remote control of the computer system and freezes them. Criminal hackers use virus-like malware strains specifically designed to disrupt, damage, or secretly gain remote access to a computer. Malware strains known as NotPetya and WannaCry helped illicit hackers get rich quick. Petya emerged in 2016, but in 2017, it began spreading internationally as ransomware. On July 27, 2017, it targeted more than 80 companies in France, Germany, Italy, Poland, the United Kingdom, the United States, Russia, and the Ukraine. The virus affected Windows servers, PCs, and laptops, exploiting Microsoft's server message block protocol vulnerability. The pop-up asked victims to conduct a system reboot, after which the system was locked. The newer variant, called NotPetya, has distinctive malware behavior. It uses different keys for encryption, has unique reboot styles, displays, and notes. It was designed by the Russian government, known for its top-level hacking ability. The WannaCry attack affected every major government and business, from Honda and the Albany police station to thousands of hospitals across the US and UK. The malware effortlessly seized control of the industrial processes and the public system for days on end. Owners hit with a ransomware attack are forced to pay a requested amount via encrypted and anonymous Bitcoin if they want their information back in one piece. No one was safe, and nearly every single enterprise that got hit also forked over the cash, or their entire livelihood could be locked in cyberspace forever. Even after the computer is remotely unlocked, there's no way for police to determine who launched the malware attack or where the money ended up. With payouts reaching up to $40 million per ransom, the hackers get their money and they disappear without a trace. In 2019, ransomware was one of the most prominent and growing threats in cybersecurity. It felt like every major institution was getting hit by criminal hackers looking for a payout. Even with the alarm growing among cyber professionals, the public struggled to comprehend the size and scope of the ransomware epidemic. Among the institutions targeted was Spring Hill Medical Center, the largest hospital in Mobile, Alabama. On July 9, 2019, the Spring Hill Hospital computers had been disabled on every floor. There was no access to patient records, medication, dosage charts, or accessible notes about patient allergies. Instead, the same threatening message flashed across the screen, a demand for $3 million. It was a nightmare scenario for every person involved. The hospital staff was faced with a choice: continue to provide care until IT techs rebooted the system, or give in to the hacker demands and pay before anyone got hurt. The nurses hoped the hospital would just pay the ransom so everything would go back to normal, but the hospital waited. It became clear to the staff that the owners were waiting for something. The nurses just hoped that they could regain control of their systems before it was too late. On July 17, 2019, Spring Hill Medical Center was on day 8 of the ransomware attack, and the techs were getting close to cracking the encryption. On that same July day, Tirana Kidd was wheeled into the hospital with contractions happening less than 5 minutes apart. It was time for her to get into a room and start pushing any minute. The hospital allegedly shut down its network that day to protect its data, with no idea how the lack of network, charting systems, and standard operating equipment would affect their operations. Without the hospital's computer and network systems, doctors and nurses resorted to communicating via text. But Tirana didn't know any of this, as she was induced and preparing to give birth to her daughter. All she knew was that the baby was coming.
"It's time to push," Dr. Parnell encouraged.
Tirana, tired and sore, was ready. She pushed, gritting her teeth together, letting a scream escape her.
"I can see the head," the doctor told her. "One more push, Mama."
Tirana did as she was told, bearing down hard. She felt as though she had done it, that she had given birth to her baby girl. But the hospital room was silent. There was no cry, no cooing, no nothing.
"Where's my baby?"
Tirana asked, feeling the world go hazy and blurry from exhaustion and induction. When Tirana pushed herself up from her reclined position, she could see the doctor had a surgical knife in her hand, and her daughter's wrinkly face was horrifically blue. The umbilical cord was clearly wrapped around the baby's neck, and by the time Dr. Parnell cut the cord, it seemed like Tirana's baby girl was hardly even breathing. Before Tirana could speak, her baby Nico was whisked off. In the aftershock of childbirth, Tirana drifted to sleep, and when she woke up 2 hours later, she was greeted by serious-looking doctors.
"What's wrong?"
Tirana asked, knowing that whatever they had to say wasn't going to be good. One of the doctors explained that Nico, Tirana's daughter, had been born with a severe brain injury. Tirana had been right. The umbilical cord was wrapped around Nico's neck during the birth, and it had cut off vital oxygen to her brain for an unknown amount of time. It was a tragic day for Tirana Kidd, and she demanded to know why. Why had this happened? What had gone wrong? The condition triggers warning signs on the heart monitor when the squeezed cord cuts off the supply of blood and oxygen to the fetus. It was then that the doctors told her that the computers and equipment were all out of use. As the hack took place, the labor and delivery unit nurse's desk was cut off from its heartbeat monitoring equipment, which is why staff missed warning signs that the umbilical cord was wrapped around the fetus's neck. In January 2020, heartbroken and furious, Tirana Kidd sued Spring Hill Medical Center. In the lawsuit, Tirana said that she was never notified the hospital was in midst of a ransomware attack, and if she had known her care would suffer, she would have chosen a different hospital. The suit further claimed that Nico's condition never made it to Dr. Parnell due to the ransomware attack. The responsibility fell partially on the hackers and partially on the hospital itself. Tirana struggled to navigate the lawsuit and the care for her newborn daughter, who needed to stay hospitalized. Every day, Tirana was there, supporting her baby and doing whatever she could to help her. On July 21, 2020, Tirana's daughter, Nico Sylar, died almost 1 year after her birth. It took almost no time for Tirana to amend the lawsuit. Now it wasn't just an injury she was suing the ransom hackers in the hospital for. It was for her infant daughter's death and the fatal outcome. Ransomware and the hackers behind it were officially in the first ever ransomware-related death. Would they be held responsible? Without the hospital's computer and network systems, doctors and nurses resorted to communicating via text. And it's a scenario that's likely to play out again and again as technology becomes more deeply entwined in people's daily lives and security protections fail to keep up. The case became especially noteworthy because by 2020, fears about potential life-threatening cyber attacks from Russia, Iran, or North Korea could resemble a cyber 9/11 or a cyber Pearl Harbor. This first attack linked to a death came from common criminals who may not even know they were targeting a hospital. That scenario of a criminal hack accidentally cascading into a life-threatening situation is only going to become more common. During the trial, Tirana alleged that the data about her baby's condition never made it to Parnell because the hack eliminated the additional layer of scrutiny the heart rate monitor would have received at the nurse's station. Spring Hill had declined to pay the ransom when the hackers, believed to be the Russian-based Ryuk gang, attacked on July 8, 2019. The hospital claimed any blame lies with Parnell, who should have been able to either deliver the baby safely or send Tirana and her daughter elsewhere for the birth. Spring Hill also claimed that under Alabama law, the hospital did not have any legal duty to provide Kidd with the details of the cyber attack. Kidd's daughter, Caitlin Parnell, said she would have delivered the baby by cesarean section had she seen the monitor readout, which was unavailable to her during the attack. Between the inoperable systems and lack of attending nurses, Parnell insists that she never saw the heart rate monitoring system, and no one relayed news of Nico's condition to her. Amid all the finger-pointing, Tirana Kidd believes the weaponized malware attack resulted in her infant daughter's fatal outcome. Tirana's case is still in the midst of being decided. In a few short months, we should have the first court ruling on ransomware and its involvement in Nico's death. Without the hospital's computer and network systems, doctors and nurses resorted to communicating via text. The harrowing story of Nico's death is another reason to regard the ransomware epidemic as a crisis and to do something about it without delay. President Biden's administration has put pressure on Russian President Vladimir Putin to discipline the Russian hacker gangs that operate in his country with impunity. The Treasury Department is also sanctioning cryptocurrency exchanges that facilitate extortion. Despite the apparent shutdown of major malware manufacturers due to months-long incursions led by the U.S. government, the ransomware plague is far from being extinguished.
All this leaves law enforcement to pursue the hackers through the more traditional charges of blackmail and hacking. Although there is little police are currently able to do without being able to access encrypted Bitcoin payments to trace to the hacker identities. Many of the ransomware hackers are based in Russia, where the local government typically protects their hackers from extradition. Right now, the country's most crucial services are also cyber criminals' most tempting targets, because the criminals know three things: that we can't live without them, that they are unprotected, and that people are willing to pay to release them from the malware attack. That first part won't change, but the next two must. I'm Keith Korneluk, and you're listening to Modem Mischief. Thanks for listening to Modem Mischief. We hope you enjoyed this special bonus episode. Bonus episodes are released on the first Friday of the month. This show is an independent production and is wholly supported by you, our listeners. And the best way to support the show is to share it. Tell your friends, your enemies, post it to your favorite Facebook group. Modem Mischief is brought to you by Mad Dragon Productions and is created, produced, and hosted by me, Keith Korneluk. This episode is written and researched by Lauren Minkoff, mixed and mastered by David Swope, a.k.a. DJ D. Swizzle. The theme song You Are Digital is composed by Computer Bandit. Sources for this episode are available on our website at modemmischief.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media at Modem Mischief. Thanks for listening, and thanks for supporting the show.